Good morning. My name is Julie Fedorchak. We're here on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a work session on case number PU-20-442. With me is Commissioner Randy Crispin. And also in the room, we have two staff members, Stacey Ebro and Brian Johnson, to help go through the issues of the morning. I believe that staff requested this work session, so I don't have any opening comments, but I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Crispin, since this is your portfolio.
Thanks. Good morning, everybody. I have opening comments in my mind, but I think I'll just hold off and hear from staff and potentially the company and see where we're at first. Maybe I'll change my mind.
Okay. Very good. So I think we can turn it over to you guys.
Sure.
Tell us what you wanted to kind of walk through today.
Well, things seem to have fallen apart with the satellite phones, and there's been some other things brought up. So I'll let Stacey update you guys on the Gerbig side, and then we can chat with the company and get their point of view.
Okay, that sounds good. Before you do that, though, could one of you sort of just refresh us where we left it at after the informal hearing?
Sure.
And then we can kind of pick up from there.
After that informal, the company was, CenturyLink was going to get satellite phones to the Gerbigs and a couple other individuals. And the hope was that that would provide them with phone service that they could use and basically get them to having a working phone that wasn't going down and didn't have issues and was reliable. I think it was several days after that before they actually got the phones. I know it was kind of a rush deal, but that's kind of where we left it, and we were hoping that that was going to resolve the issue and we could move forward with closing the matter, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
All right. Okay, so thank you.
So there was an email docketed that you should have received copies of, and I believe it was sent out to everyone that we have online too. Hopefully you guys got it, but it's just a good update that I received from Ms. Gerbig talking about what has happened since the hearing. And essentially, as Brian alluded to, they haven't been able to use the satellite phones adequately. It sounds like the biggest issue was that they weren't getting any service unless they were outside, which obviously doesn't really work good if you're using that for your home phone. And we can maybe have the company talk a little bit more about that and why it's not working. But it seems like they've moved away from the satellite phone idea, the company as well, because they've now offered up HughesNet to the Gerbigs, which I would like a little more information about also, but just from looking, it seems like it's an internet-based phone, which would go over their internet line, which the Gerbigs also have concerns about. So far, the Gerbigs have not been satisfied with the options that they have been given.
Stacey, is it okay to?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead, Randy.
Was anything done to confirm, or can this actually be that after as much time as this has drug out, that the proposal that the company brought to our previous hearing was a phone that doesn't work indoors? Or do the Gerbigs have some kind of unusual roofing or something like that? Could that have been foreseen?
I can answer that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So my understanding is satellite phones do not work indoors without an antenna system. You need a clear line of sight. When the Gerbigs had originally complained about having to go outside, which, I mean, that's not a normal phone service. That's not.
Well, that was Green Acres. That's like 70 years ago.
Yeah, you can't make a call or receive a call unless you're outside. That doesn't make sense at all. So I did some quick internet research, and apparently there is a way to get around that by putting an antenna that the phone hooks up to so that it has the antenna outside, it can link up and you can use the phone indoors then. I don't know if that option was explored by the company or not, but yes, that is the case, is the phones don't work unless you're outside.
I just wanted for confirmation, because this email says that the instruction book states clearly that calls need to be made when a person is outside. If that's, I mean, if that is accurate, I find that so disappointing that the company brought us a proposal like that, and presumably they would know what it says in the instruction book, mm-hmm. and didn't mention, well, you know, here would be a proposal that they could use if they want to go outside. And
just a couple other concerns that the Gerbigs have brought to me, just to get on the record. They cannot keep their phone number, is what they've been told that they have. So on the satellite phone, she said it actually shows up as like an international number when you call somebody, so people don't pick it up. I believe it's the same with the HughesNet options. She said they cannot keep their current phone number, which they've had for decades, so she had concerns about that. The satellite phone did not have voicemail capacity. I believe HughesNet does, but the satellite phone didn't have voicemail capacity, to her understanding. And then there's also an issue with her husband has a pacemaker that somehow connects into the phone line in order to send data from the pacemaker directly into her doctor. I might be oversimplifying this, but from my understanding, it would not work with either the satellite phone or the HughesNet option. It has to be an actual phone line. So I just wanted to make sure that I bring forward her concerns that she's shared with me with these options.
So looking at the email that came from Sharon Gerbig on the 20th, I'm really surprised at how this plan was carried forward by the company after our hearing. They got a 2014 model, which is 7 years old. I don't know if that's, you know, if the technology hasn't changed that much, but that doesn't make sense to me that they would have a 7-year-old model that they're giving to this family. They got it in the mail, it was dropped off in Medora by Cal, the technician. To me, with a customer that's been struggling for as long as they have, they're getting a new phone that is supposed to take care of all the problems that have been reoccurring over multiple months and years, and they get handed the phone in a parking lot or wherever in Medora, an old phone, with no training at all. I would have no clue how to use a satellite phone. None. And then they are left to try to figure it out, read the book. Then they find out it doesn't work inside. Our staff does the research to find out how you can make it work inside. We're dealing with a phone company that should know how to make phones work and under what conditions they work. I mean, this is absolutely really outrageous, the approach that CenturyLink has taken on this. It's shocking. You almost have to try to not do a good job. That's what it feels like. They're trying to do as poor a job as absolutely possible for these people. So this is really infuriating. And I understand that there's technical difficulties here, and it's a challenging situation, but I really would expect a little bit more effort on the company's part to make this long-awaited plan work and to attempt to try to address issues that these customers have. So I'm even more mad than I was the last time that we talked about this, and that was infuriating. Anyway, I don't know what this HughesNet and the internet option is, but it feels like it's going to be questionable, because do they have good internet service?
That's one of her concerns, and she talks about that in the email from the 10th, that I believe they currently, yeah, she currently does have internet through HughesNet, but it is off sometimes. And I would like to hear more about the HughesNet option too, because I don't know a whole lot about it. I think it's satellite based somehow also. So I don't know if there's issues with connections at certain times. And then also if the power goes out, obviously they lose their internet connection. I think she mentions that in the email, so they wouldn't have that access. And that sometimes does happen with the phones too, though. So, but I would like to hear more about it from the company too, if you guys want them to talk more about that. It might be helpful.
I agree. And, but, and this is just sort of an alert to the company, what we're looking for, so we don't have to pry things out with questions. Based on previous efforts, I don't know what kind of information we're going to get, because it seems like every time we tell them the house is burning, we wait a month and then find out that they watered the plants or oiled the door hinge, you know, and never really address the problem. And so I'm curious to hear about it too, because I also am not familiar with what expectations, what real expectations might be for that, but I hope we get the whole story.
I guess in the email from the 10th, I don't see anything from the Gerbigs that they had switched from one to HughesNet because they were having problems with the other ones. I don't know. I guess to me it's not clear if HughesNet has really been reliable for them or not, so that's something that we can look into. With the pacemaker thing, apparently there might be an updated machine that could adapt to a different type of phone, but the clinic's not going to replace it until they replace the pacemaker battery, which has got 2 years of life left. So, you know, that might be another issue that the company could have looked into or addressed, like, hey, we can get you another machine so we can get this to work with what we're setting up here. But, you know, maybe that's not possible either. Maybe they don't have access, or I don't know if they can get that type of equipment either, but something else to think about.
I mean, clearly in this situation, some things are going to have to be compromised. Maybe it's the phone number, you know, maybe we have to think more creatively about the pacemaker and the handset. Or, I mean, I understand those issues and their desire to have them all addressed. Right now, I just like to get them a way to have a working phone that provides 911 service in their house. And then we can go from there.
Yeah. And nobody is going to answer their calls if it shows up as an international call.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that just looks like spam. And, I mean, that has to be fixable. Reprogramming.
If there's any kind of a serious effort, I would think so. But we'll find out here shortly.
So where are we at? We want to hear from the company now. Is that what we're thinking?
I think we've covered everything that the Gerwigs have given us, so I think we can move to the company and see what they have to say.
Yeah, we were really at a point where we just needed to, you know, get together and have everybody get updated on where we're at so that you have all the information you need to move forward in whatever way we need to move forward.
Okay. All right, so who's taking the lead from the company's side?
Thank you. This is Jason Topp, attorney at CenturyLink. I have Paul Sanderson with me, local counsel. I have with me, I have on the line, Red Giles, who is the area manager and appeared before you in December, and Andrew Schreiner, who also appeared before you in December. And I have Jamal Badulier, who is the person that we go to with the types of questions related to HughesNet that have been raised in these discussions.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. So you want to just bring on whoever you would like to make a presentation?
Yeah, I'll start if that's okay. You know, we proposed the satellite phone solution in December, and was a pretty quick turnaround when before the commission hearing as we looked to come up with solutions. We were looking for network solutions that seemed reasonable, did not see them. We did think that this satellite phone solution would be workable when we were before the commission, although it became very clear quite quickly that this was a phone that needed to be used outside and was not going to be a reasonable alternative. Nonetheless, we got the satellite phones to the customers because of the emergency concerns that the commission, you know, that we're all concerned about. We got those to the customers as quickly as we could so that if there was an emergency, there would be connectivity. We also looked and spoke with the customers before Christmas about the potential of using HughesNet as an alternative way of getting them adequate service. As has been mentioned, a couple of the customers have internet service through HughesNet, and so this would be an add-on associated with it. There seemed to be interest from the customers, but also some concerns, and some of those have been raised. The medical device, some number porting issues. I also think because it's a different and new technology, there's some concern about giving up on the existing technology that serves these customers. We think that the best solution moving forward is a HughesNet solution. Mr. Bedulier can address sort of the specifics associated with that and address some of the concerns that are raised with that particular technology. We're certainly concerned that the satellite solution was not as robust as we had hoped it would be. We have been in communication with the customers attempting to have them think about this HughesNet solution. Haven't heard a commitment one way or another. We've had conversations within the last week. It sounds like there's some real hesitancy to use that as a particular solution. Perhaps I could have Mr. Bedulier talk about HughesNet as an alternative.
Jason, before we move on, I just want to ask you this. Did you or someone from the company not indicate in December that you had used satellite phones elsewhere, somewhere within the company's national service area?
Yes, we had used them in, I think, about three or four areas. Those customers were able to use these phones indoors, is my understanding.
What's the difference? Like, why would some be able to and some not?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Thank you.
And you don't want to find out the answer, or you want to go this other route?
Well, we did look into this antenna solution that Ms. Erbel raised, and it just didn't seem like it was going to be a satisfactory solution because of the other concerns that are raised, and also I can't remember the specifics at this point, but it just didn't seem like a route that was going to make sense, particularly in light of this HughesNet alternative.
Okay. What are the pitfalls of the HughesNet alternative? Like, what? Let's assume that everything that can go wrong does go wrong. What does it look like?
I think I'd have to rely on Jamal to work through those. I think the big ones that have been raised is, power loss, which we think is something that can be addressed. The medical device issue potentially is an issue that I think can be addressed. I'd have to rely on Jamal regarding number porting type issues. But Jamal, could you address that question? Jamal, are you on mute?
We're unable to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Usenet has been in business for quite a long time. Actually, they are a provider of broadband all over the country and also phone service all over the country. It requires a small antenna on the house, and then it goes into via cable to the home and plugs in, like, for instance, any satellite provider like Dish or DirecTV. It will provide phone service over the internet. It's reliable, and it has been proven to provide, especially in light of the FCC rules, actually provide internet service to the majority of the country. And they are actually, I think they're applying to BETC all over the country as well. But from the technical aspects, I think I read the email. As far as the issue with battery commercial power going down, I can provide customers with a battery backup unit to be put in the house to ensure that they have access to the internet as well as dial tone if the power goes out. I just need to know what type of modem, make and model, and I can certainly do that. We do that today in our own network for fiber to the home to make sure that whenever the power goes down, our customers can still have dial tone. That's one concern that I saw has been raised. Also, and one concern that's been raised from the pacemaker, based on the email I saw, and I need to get really more detailed information as far as the make and model to find out how can it work with the satellite phone. It sounded to me from the email that the issue is a curved handset to be put in to the pacemaker reader for the data to be transported back to the clinic. I could be wrong, but that's how I read it. And then for the number portability, I've had emails and calls with the technical folks with Usenet. We believe there is a solution we can deploy to make sure that the customer can keep their phone numbers. But we'll find out for sure in the next week or so. But I believe we have a solution to address that. Any other questions I can answer?
Thank you, Jamal. What about reliability? Like, how reliable is the actual internet service itself? What is it dependent on? What can interrupt it? And then you're out of phone service at the same time, I'm assuming, if the internet goes down.
Correct. If the internet goes down, your phone service is out. The satellite will go down in extreme weather conditions, mainly really rain, or if you get a whole lot of snow on the antenna. It depends on the antenna, how it's built, how it's put in, what direction, what is the elevation. Those are the only issues that would cause the internet and the satellite to go down. Extreme weather, a lot of rain, and it's not going to last for long either, whenever, maybe an hour at the most, it depends on the rain. But also, if you have a lot of snow and the snow sticks to the antenna. But the antenna is the way they're built in today. They're very, how do you say, slick. The snow does not stick on them, if that makes sense. So would it go down? Absolutely. How long? Not very long. 15, 20 minutes, an hour. How often? Not often. With the battery backup unit in the house, if the commercial power goes down, it will still keep going, and you have access to the internet and you have access downtown for up to 8 or 24 hours.
Jamal, has the antenna technology improved some? I have a DirecTV system, and it's pretty old. And it's not a matter of extreme weather. Weather issues cause it to stop serving, but it's not really a matter of extreme. I've had where it's not even measurable precipitation, and it stops working. And I've sat there in rainstorms, and it works fine. And actually, rain seems to have more of an impact. I really haven't had a lot of problems with it with snow. But it's kind of unpredictable. I know it's weather-related, but it's not necessarily a matter of extreme weather. It can take very little to throw that off. I'm wondering if you think that a newer one would be better.
Absolutely, sir. The newer antennas are built in such a way that they will withstand the weather, as you mentioned, and it will not go down as you said, except for the weather conditions that are affected. Now the wind might affect it too, because it will shift the antenna a little bit until it goes back to place. But the newer antennas in the last maybe 3-4 years have been modified or built in a way that they're not going to be affected that much. Don't get me wrong, it will go down, no question. Like the phone lines, like everything else, it will go down in some instances. But we can alleviate that through the battery backup, through the new antennas, and make sure that it stays up. And Jason, I think we also have another a parallel opportunity that would we may provide, in essence, keeping the phone lines for some time so that the customers can try the using that while the phone lines are existing, you know, as they are today, just to make sure we alleviate any concerns from that end, too.
Yeah, I mean, that is our, you know, we do have a phone line there. We recognize that there have been issues associated with that phone line, but it has served as backup. I mean, what we'd like to do is just keep the line in place, have the customers try this HughesNet, try and work through these issues, and see if we can make this as a workable alternative.
So I wish I didn't have to ask this, but because of the experience we have so far, I have to ask, who do you have in your company who knows how to use this system and is going to hold their hands until it works? Teach them how to do it, be out on site, look at where you set up the antenna, take care of all of that stuff, show them how to use it on site, and be there testing it until they have a comfort level of working on it on their own, and then being available for questions and ongoing service until this gets resolved. How do you, what's your plan for that?
The plan is that if this is acceptable and we believe it's a good solution for both parties, we will definitely have somebody out there installed, help them install everything, show them everything, train them, get everything up and running. We won't leave the premises until their phone service and internet and the battery backup unit in the house and so forth has been installed, shown to the customer, make sure they address any questions they have, and give them any training they need, and we give a specific phone number to call if any questions. We got to use that.
I just want to make sure, Jamal, that I'm thinking of the same thing as you're talking about when you talk about an antenna. Is it like my DirecTV antenna, a dish, maybe a little more than a foot in diameter that mounts on the side of the house?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
How long before this type of thing could be pursued?
When could you implement
this approach, this solution?
Yes, it would be. I have to talk to my suppliers, but I'm assuming it should be within 2 to 4 weeks at the most to get everything installed and get the technician out there and get it done.
How much confidence, you said you think, I don't know exactly how you phrased it, but you expressed some confidence in being able to port their number, but you indicated that you did need to clarify further. Give me a little more. How confident are you that that can be done?
Okay. I would not talk about porting because I'm not sure that they can port, but I've been talking with about 60% confidence that I can make it work, if you're asking percentage-wise. There's options on how we can do this.
Okay.
Just to make it clear that if we do the port, if we change the number from CenturyLink to Usenet, then the customer would lose the copper line, if you will, their home internet being usable for their phone service. Mm. So there's options we can do, and 60% confidence that we will get the phone number transferred over to Usenet.
What if you don't transfer that number? What kind of a number would they have? Would it be a local number?
Local number,
yeah. Okay. Just a different local number.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, but they would lose...
And for incoming calls, we certainly could offer call forwarding to get those calls forwarded. Yeah.
Well, and then ultimately, if it worked, and we got some months down the road, and it was a good solution, then they could switch and port their old number into the new one once it was determined satisfactorily that the copper line could be abandoned.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
So they could ultimately get it back, if I'm hearing you right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have any more questions, Randy. Is Brian on the phone? Commissioner Crosius?
No, I don't have
any questions. Okay, thank you.
I have just a couple follow-up, if that's okay. Yes. Can you confirm that the company is willing to pay for everything involved in the HughesNet, including the battery packs that would be needed for the power outages?
Jason?
Yes.
Okay, and is there a subscription fee, I'm assuming, that goes along with the phone service? And would CenturyLink pay for that also?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the specifics on how this would go about, we had made a proposal in which we had calculated out the cost of sort of their basic level of service, which would have included internet, and voice, and then just given a check to the customers in the amount that would cover that. Those are details. We're looking to, make the customers whole with respect to these specific costs and cover those.
And how long would that, because I'm assuming there's a point where the money is going to be used up, and then they're essentially no longer a CenturyLink customer. So then they're just on their own with HughesNet.
We certainly, we think that they will like the solution and that would be appropriate. But we're not urging that, the commission that be pushed at this time. Yeah, I think we had originally proposed sort of a 2-year solution, but exactly how that is fashioned, we're certainly open to the specifics. I think the immediate thing we should do is try and get the customer signed up for service, keep the line in place as something that's there if it's, necessary to go back to it. Try and get these questions worked through, see how the service works, and then revisit without sort of making a specific commitment regarding how long this would be in place and how to move forward. I think it's critical that the customer's needs get taken care of, and then we figure out sort of these types of specific details.
Did you have anything else? Well, I'm going to say, Madam Chair, as the portfolio holder, now I have some hopefulness maybe on this HughesNet thing, but I've never had HughesNet. I don't know how much the Gerbigs do. I haven't had the kind of communication with them as staff has, but I have met them over the long course of time, and they're not, I haven't found them to be hard people to communicate with. The level of communications in trying this satellite proposal was dreadful in trying to help someone get something new that, you know, they probably don't have neighbors or anyone that has. And so I hope this effort is carried out a lot more enthusiastically by the company. I don't intend to wait around long on positive news, because just based on the past, like I said earlier, the efforts have been almost, it seems to me, more of a stall tactic than a long-term solution. So I'm going to be thinking, I'm not sure that we won't ultimately, and in not too long of a period, need a work session to maybe come up with some more assertive action to incentivize a real solution here. And hopefully that real solution, you know, maybe this HughesNet is it, and it'll go quickly. But I know we've watched other agencies with other industries put out some pretty good incentives sometimes where the payment is suspended and then things get done. And so I don't know if we'll have to move that direction or not, but I certainly keep it open as an option. Hopefully we get some better news quickly on this proposal.
Okay, thank you, Randy.
I did think of one more thing, sorry.
Sure,
has this HughesNet been offered to Dorm, and there was one other customer that also was in the same situation?
Yes, we have offered to all three customers.
Okay. Is there different feedback from them, or just in general, do they seem hesitant also, or are they more on board? Or
I think Mr. Giles might be able to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that with the second customer, it sounds like they're, you know, looking to Sharon Gerbig for, you know, they seem to be in lockstep. And then there's a third individual who doesn't have, actually I'll need to yield to Mr. Giles on that customer.
Yes, Miles Gerbig is one of the other customers, and I think he was open to the idea of exploring HughesNet. He did want to refer to Sharon at the time that my supervisor and technician spoke with him. Dorm Henders is the third customer, and the challenge with Dorm will be the fact that he does not own a computer, is my understanding. So we may have to think about a resolution to that aspect of him getting the HughesNet service. But I think both of those customers were pretty open to the idea as well.
Okay.
With Dorm, we can find a solution. I just want to make sure that we can certainly find a solution for Dorm if we go that route.
Okay, well, there's some good options on the table. I would just implore the company to keep in close contact with the customers and with our staff so we know what's going on and can restore some of the trust that we need to have in what you're saying and that you'll actually deliver on it. So you've laid out some timelines, and I just expect that we'll be hearing back from you on a regular basis until this is resolved. And with that, I think we're concluded. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.